So while disgust evolved to help early humans avoid pathogens, today it shapes everything from our reaction to strangers to voting habits. And there's a psychologist named David Pizarro who has even linked disgust to political affiliation. He told Steve Paulson that as an emotion, disgust is a researcher's dream.
You know, as a psychologist who studies emotions, you want to do experiments. And so what you often do is you bring people into the lab and you try to induce an emotion and make people feel happy or sad. And this is challenging, right? You can show them video clips. You can ask them to recall a time they were angry or happy or sad. Disgust is easy. It's really easy.
It's the magic tool for the academic researcher.
It's amazing. I mean, one picture, you know, one sentence, and sometimes even one word. In giving talks on the topic of disgust, I've had at least four or five times somebody come up to me and say, "Has anybody talked to you about the word moist and how disgusting that word is?" And I realize it's a thing. There's like a group of people. I'm sure there's like a website dedicated to being just one word making them feel disgust.
Moist.
Yeah,
that's not something I would have guessed.
I do not know why. I thought that's like what Sara Lee cakes are supposed to be. You know, I don't.
Right. I thought moist was a good thing, but
yeah, I'm sure we're grossing out like 3% of the population.
Right. So you've done this fascinating research on how disgust shapes our moral beliefs. And you've even gone further than that. You've discovered there's a connection between a person's sensitivity to disgust and their political affiliation.
Yeah. And so that finding right there was something that was accidental. We weren't looking for it. And so a few years ago, when I was trying to study disgust and its relationship to moral beliefs, we started using this tool that had been developed by other researchers that is called the Disgust Sensitivity Scale. And it basically just asks you a bunch of questions. Like, imagine that you are, you walk into a public restroom and the toilet's unflushed. How grossed out would you be? So there's a number of these questions, and you get an overall score. And at the request of another professor who asked me to insert a political orientation question, simple, how liberal, how conservative are you? I kept finding that the more disgusted people reported being, the more likely they were to say that they're conservative. And I ignored this for about three studies until I arrived at Cornell as a junior prof. And Yoel Imbar, a graduate student who started working with me, said, you know, you can't keep ignoring this. And so we documented it now a few times, and most recently in what I think is the best study to date across about 25 different countries in their native languages. We document the same sort of left-right disgust correlation.
Well, I mean, so just to be absolutely clear about this, are you saying that you can predict how conservative a person will be based on their sensitivity to disgust?
Well, you can. And by predict, we simply mean that there is a correlation. That is, the more likely you are to say that you're disgusted by a variety of things, the more likely you are to say that you are politically conservative. You can say this the other way around. The less disgusted you report being, the more liberal you are.
So basically, but if you're not really disgusted about anything, then you're going to be very liberal.
You're more likely to be liberal. And but the caveat here is that this is a modest relationship, that it's a small correlation. So when people ask me, you know, is this a good way to determine whether someone's liberal or conservative? What I always tell them is that the best way is to ask them if they're liberal or conservative. But for us, it was interesting theoretically that there is this reliable relationship. And we can go into some of the reasons why. You know, I don't think this is a fluke.
Well, let's talk about that. So why would there be a connection between sensitivity to disgust and your politics?
Good question, Steve. you can divide up, sort of slice up your emotional reactions in terms of the kind that make you avoid things and the kind that make you approach things. And so negative emotions like fear often make you stay away from dangerous things. And disgust is thought to be similar to this, except for that it deals with a different class of threats, things that would be likely to make you sickly. And so there's always a balance, right? Because we also gain a lot of advantage from being open to novelty and new experiences. So the first person to ever try a tomato unleashed the power of tomatoes upon society. And so there has to be this balance between these two drives that we have, the approach, the explore, the be creative, try new things, and the be careful, don't do something that might be dangerous if no one's ever done it.
And the politics here then, as you're saying, if you're open to new experiences, to novelty, you're more likely to be politically liberal. If you see the world as potentially full of threats, you're more likely to be conservative.
Exactly. And so once you get that explanation, it's almost the definition of conservative to want everything to stay the same and be resistant to change.
So how do you test this? I mean, what are the experiments that you've done? Or can you mention one or two that show this, this connection?
Sure. So in this case, we were interested in attitudes toward homosexuality. So we wanted to know if inducing disgust would actually shift their attitudes toward homosexuality. And what we found was on the days in which people had this gross smell in the laboratory, they reported more negative attitude towards homosexuality, which is one of the things that we were predicting. Because as it turns out, disgust is very easily elicited by things in the sexual domain. Because again, sex is one of those things that it turns out it can be pretty risky.
Yeah. So I want to come to this question of the link between disgust and morality. You've already said there's a connection between disgust and political orientation, and I would think there would be huge ramifications about the kinds of moral codes that a society develops, or even sort of legal rules. I mean, you know, how we think about justice. What have you found?
Yeah. It turns out that when you look at geographical regions and you separate them into those that had historically high levels of parasites in the environment and low levels of parasites in the environment, what emerges are cultures that when there are high levels of parasites, in other words, where disease is a common thing that everybody has to be worried about, those cultures tend to be more conservative and they're more xenophobic, they're more sexually conservative. And there seems to be a class, at least, of attitudes that is directly related to what many researchers call the purity domain. Those moral norms that are all about keeping your body pure, your group pure, in evolutionary terms, free of disease and free from the threats of catching disease from weird other people.
I mean, this raises a fascinating question, which is, I mean, should we basically try to overcome those emotions, overcome those visceral reactions of disgust to reason about things, to carefully deliberate? Because it would, I don't know, seem to be a higher stage of humanity or something like that. I mean, I'm sure you're going to say that's not realistic because we do react emotionally. But should that be the goal?
So there are people who have said, so Leon Kass, who was a bioethicist under the first Bush administration, argued famously that what you just described, using reason to arrive at all of your moral rules, is the wrong thing to do because our emotions are actually informative. He called it the wisdom of repugnance. So he said, when you feel that tinge of disgust at some practice, call it a sexual practice, in this case he was talking about human cloning, he said, there is wisdom in that response and it would behoove you to listen to it. Now, if I have an immediate disgust response and I think to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't be having this response, you now face a few challenges. One is it's hard to regulate your emotional responses. I mean, right. We can do it. There are a variety of ways in which we can do it. You know, that's what therapy is.
Well, I mean, you're sort of like you kind of think, okay, I shouldn't be feeling this, but I do.
I shouldn't. Exactly. Yeah.
So I want to come back to the political implications of what you're saying, because I don't think you're saying this, but I just want to check that if you really kind of rationally analyze your disgust emotions and sort of, you know, use the power of reason over emotion, then you're likely to limit those feelings of disgust. Are you likely to become less conservative and more liberal?
You know, I think that the answer is perhaps. To the extent that conservatives are driven by a distrust of novel things, it may very well be that as you sort of limit the scope of your disgust reaction, you might find yourself accepting practices that you would not have accepted before. And then that would just sort of, by definition, make you more liberal. But there is no right answer to how much disgust one ought to feel. I mean, me personally, I think, you know, many college sophomore males, when I look at their dorm rooms, I think they ought to feel more disgust.
Yes. I can attest to that, yes.
and so perhaps I do have an opinion about that. But especially when it comes to the way we treat other human beings, I always tell my students, look, you're allowed to be opposed to gay marriage. I disagree with you, but if the only thing that's driving that is that you think it's kind of gross, then I would ask you to think about two very unattractive people having sex. I think that's pretty gross too, but it has absolutely no implications for whether I would legislate ugly marriage. So there's an extra step there that we want to be concerned with how we're treating other human beings. That is what human morality is about, and that is what the ability to reflect, I think, how that should be used to guide our emotional responses. And in many cases, make us have emotional responses in the appropriate circumstances.
Yeah. Well, this is just totally fascinating. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for talking to me about it.
Steve Paulson talking with Cornell psychologist David Pizarro. And you can hear more about David's work on his podcast, Very Bad Wizards. Coming up, would you eat insects to save the world? It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio, NPRI, Public Radio International.